Okay, class, welcome to Church Unusual. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 16, I'll turn there really quick. It literally bothers me, once again, that we have to have a class called Church Unusual. And I'm not particular about the class and the book and nothing like that, but it's just, how far have we gotten away from the original plan of the church to where we have to have this conversation? And if we look around, I'm a type of person where you know, I'm not about no fanfare. I'm not about covering no face or saving no face or trying to act like something is something that it is, isn't. We haven't been having enough manifestation in the church. As what I believe, and we'll read in a minute, what Jesus defines as a church, we hadn't been having those manifestations. We get a spurt here and there, but it should be a whole lot more going on. Let's understand this and let's be clear. Now, y'all knew I was a Jesus guy. I'm a Jesus guy. Everybody's Jesus, supposed to be Jesus person, but you know how I did my Living by the Book class, and I'm this, everything leads to Jesus. It's the same thing with church. Church is not you putting on your suit, and you come and serve as an usher. You come and serve in the praise team. Or you stand up and sitting down, and stand up and sitting down, and shouting and saying amen. It is not the songs that you sing. It's not the things that you say at church that you might not say at home on your own. It's none of those different things. These are church services. These are church gatherings. But church is a living, live organism, and it is you. Called out ones by a name to carry a name from an origin. That's what Ecclesia stands for. And so you have to realize that is who you are. You are called out from God. This is the only place we could have come from. We came out of God. Our spirits come out of God, out of an origin, by name, by character. Name, the word name means character. By a character to carry a character. So you weren't just called out. You were called out by a certain character to carry that same character. That's why we say in the name of Jesus. We say in the name of Jesus like it's alakazam, like it's the end of a potion or end of a magic trick. But it's really in the name of Jesus. When Jesus says you do something in my name, he's saying you do something in the character and the same ways that I do it. Right? So you called out by a character to carry a character. You called out by Almighty God to carry God. This is church. But we've watered it down to our rituals and our religions and our steps and our all these different things. And God has been gracious to us over the years and to allow these things to try to help people as much as they can. But there's always more. And so it's not your amen corner. It's not, you know, what you do on Sundays and Tuesdays here. What we do at church, whatever your church does midweek and Sundays. It's not just that. It's not the building. This building facilitates our gatherings. But the church is not the building. We refer to that, I got to go to the church. Or I'm going to church this morning, right? But in actuality, you are the church bringing it to church. You get it? Many times we miss what's going on in the message. If the messenger that is speaking is preaching something that is Jesus level, listen to what I'm saying, then a lot of times we miss the Jesus level because we don't bring a level of Jesus faith into the meeting or into the service. So church unusual, now the church has become watered down. It's become a institution of steps. And don't get me started on the judgments and the condemnations and the rituals and the positions and all these different things. And yet it has a form of godliness, but has denied the power. Let me be clear about something. I want to be very, 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 very clear about this. There's a lot of people define church in so many different ways, and they think that what they're doing, they're building these buildings, got these one church in two locations, all the different stuff like that. Hey, God bless all that. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You get your definition from church from the father or the founder of the church, and this is Jesus Christ. No, Peter didn't found the church. No, Paul didn't found the church. They probably founded the church as is today, which we'll get into those conversations, you know, because there's some grievances I have with Peter. And there's some grievances I have with Paul, although there's a lot of great things that they said and great principles that we can stand on, there's still some grievances on how the function, even Paul and Peter got into it because of a functioning of how the gospel was being spread. Most people don't understand that the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were written after the epistles. So that means Paul did not have the gospels or the written words, or the written words of Jesus. I believe that John and all those that wrote those gospels wrote it after that because they saw some things that needed to be corrected. The people that put the Bible together end up putting the Gospels before, because chronologically Jesus was here before the epistles. But in actuality, the writing of them was switched for a reason. But now I take Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does this mean? I mean, everything that I'm thinking, everything that I believe, everything that I try to step on or walk on or make my foundation, I got to bring it to the obedience of Christ. That means I got to bring it to Christ and see if it stands up. Christ, is this what you're saying? Is this what it look like? And I'm going to shake you up a little bit because there's a lot of things going on in the church as a whole and in your churches that don't look like Jesus. Don't be afraid. We should always be prepared to be able to think this way. There's a lot of things that we're doing that may not have been the intention. Maybe been some ritual that we didn't pick up from somewhere. And Jesus would tell him, he even tells him in the scripture, that's a perfect time. Let me read it. Chapter 16, verse 9. And when the disciples will come to the other side, they're coming across some water. They have forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed that you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. And when you talk about leaven, leaven was something that was in the bread that would make the bread rise, but it wasn't good for you. It really wasn't naturally in the bread. It was something they would put in it to make it look bigger than what it really is. Puffed up, right? It sounds like ego to me. So he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It also, what he was mean was the zeal of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were very zealous people. They were very strict about their law. They even had, some of them had the word, because the Bible says, write the word upon you. They would have it written on their faces, right? They were very, very zeal and strict about it, right? But you had to beware of their strictness and they were astute. They were right on top of the law, but you had to beware of it because there was no wiggle room for being. So they would be strict about the law, but they didn't realize who he was and be able to fulfill the law and be the law in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to beware because they looked like they got it going on, but there's no results. They're not loving their neighbor like they love themselves. They're not taking care. And if you really want to go through the history of the church, a lot of the religious people at the time were in cahoots with the government. Sounds like 2021. They were in cahoots with the government and given the same rhetoric that the Romans were given to try to keep everybody docile and under control. And they would get little kickbacks from the government, little kickbacks of money, as long as you keep your people in subjection. That's why we come up with a weak church, or a weak men in church, or a weak processing in church, because we were taught to be docile because they're trying to control us, just like slavery. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. The disciples say, oh, he must be talking about bread. Now, this man literally said, take heed that you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Right? Not the bread of the Pharisees, it's the leaven. And they said, oh, he must be talking about bread. It shows how dull you can be sometimes if you're not paying attention. Verse 8, and when Jesus perceived it, sometimes I see Jesus, I feel like his face be like this a lot of times. Like, what y'all think? What y'all talking about? It says, he said unto them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Here's a question, right? Then he goes on, do you not understand neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000? How many baskets you took up? In other words, y'all remember that, right? Y'all remember that we was not lacking then. Then he says, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Question. Then he said, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? How you didn't understand what I was talking about? It says, verse 12, then they understood how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you go into Pharisees and Sadducees and study a little bit, you'll see that one of them, I can't remember which one of them didn't believe in the resurrection. One of them didn't believe in the sonship. One of them, and you just got to go read it, but there's a doctrine that they were trying to teach. So verse 13, and when Jesus came to coast Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, so he's got this. He's like, y'all really ain't catching me. Y'all really not picking up on what I'm doing. So let me talk to you for a minute. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it's funny that they begin to say everything else that they heard in the streets. And this tells me two things. Number one, you really ain't paying attention to who you're with. Who you with? You really ain't paying attention to who you're with, but you also are listening more to others' opinions on the outside about who he is on the inside of your circle than you're listening to who's on the inside. Boy, y'all better hear me. Who do men say? So they first answer. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, or Elias, and others, Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. So they got the word of the street. Verse 15, he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? So now he makes it personal. And everybody's quiet. I use my context, everybody's quiet. And here come brave Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, period. And Jesus answered and said unto him, watch this. Listen, you got to catch what I'm saying. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He doesn't call him Simon Peter, right? He calls him Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee. Now, how would I say also to thee? So it almost sounds like he's saying, and I'm going to say to you too, that thou art Peter. Now he's not telling him, you Peter, right? He said, watch this, but slow it down. Now he said, Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. The verse, he says, and I say it, I'll say this also to you, like you too, Peter, you too, that you are, thou art, you are Peter, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Y'all better catch that. He's trying to tell him, break it down. Thou art, why would he call it and say, thou art Peter? He just called him Simon Barjona in the scripture before. Then he said, and I'll say also unto thee that thou art Peter. He's not telling you, you're Peter. Hey, you're Peter. He already knew his name was Simon Peter. So he said, you too, Peter. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God too. You just don't know it. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not saying he's building it on Peter. The rock that he's building on is the revelation that you are a son of God. You are Christ in the flesh. This is who we are. This is our DNA. This is the spirit of God on the inside of us. Upon that rock, upon that rock, I will build my what? Church. So now we got to find out now. The church should be built on the revelation of, we would say, built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, what does Jesus Christ reveal? Jesus Christ reveals who you really are. So now the church should be built on the rock or the revelation of the fact that you are, listen to what I'm saying to you, you are a son of God. You are one with God. You know, he got mad with Jesus because he called himself a son of God, making himself equal with God. You too. What's your name? Say your name real quick. Come on, just because we verse don't mean I don't hear you. Say your name. All right? And watch this. Jesus saying, you too, and put your name right there. Tell yourself, you too, Montrell. Thou art the Christ too, Montrell. Montrell the Christ. Say your name and put it on there. Don't be scared. Say it. This is the rock. Right? And I don't want to get past that part too quick. We're going to read the rest of it because we read stuff too fast sometimes. But thou art too. And we got to sit with that for a minute. This is the foundation of what, remember now, the church is called out from an origin by a name to carry a name. Up, oh, now he says, oh, I'm the Christ. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. He said, thou, and I say it also to you. Thou art, Peter. Thou art, and put your name in there. You too. And your understanding of this, your understanding that you're a son, a daughter of God, your son, you're one with God, is the rock or the foundation of how the church should function. So God bless these buildings and God bless these revivals and these conferences and these offices and everything that we hold. But the original function of the church was to function as the Son of God wherever we were in this church. Some of us are born in different places and born in different families. And sometimes we're mad that we were born in this family. We wish we were born. No. God birthed you where you were before you were formed in the belly. This Jeremiah chapter 1, before you formed the belly, I knew you. Before I ordained you, I sanctified you as a prophet to the nations. I knew exactly what family I was planting you in for a reason. And there comes a time where I want you to realize you're a son of God, so your son of God will convert others into sons. This is what church looks like. And the people, ask somebody, the people added to the church daily. It's not talking about to the church building. It's not talking about, they're talking about people were realizing who they really were. Or should have been. This is the rock, the foundation. Every building, your home, any building that you ever walk in has a foundation, has a concrete rock foundation that allows this building to stand. If there is a faulty foundation or there are cracks in the foundation or use bad materials for the foundation, it cannot stand. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said, he who built his house upon the sand, he said, the wind and the rain come and beat upon the house, and the house falls because it wasn't founded upon the rock, right? This is why there's so much falling and so much failure in the church, because it's built upon sand. Cute sayings and cute little stories and books and revivals and songs and worships and all these random things that we're saying, and there is no sturdy foundation. But he said, he who builds a house on the rock, the winds and the rains come and beat upon the house, and the house stands because it was founded upon the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. So the church that you've been experiencing is built on what? Is it built on the worship team? Is it built on the great preacher that you think it is? Is it built on a bunch of sayings and how we dress and how we do? Is it those things really the foundation? And it's not that those things aren't important, but are they really the foundation? Sounds like sand to me. When I build it on this rock of who I really am and my true definition of who I am, and you too. I want to say it again, and you too. So Jesus is building his church on you, but I got a question. Are you rock? Are you solid as a rock? Now, if I ask this question in multitudes of people, the answer is no. People, yes, I'm a rock, but we'll see. We'll see when we throw you up against the wall. Or we'll see when we start to actually put that pressure on you and put that pressure on your back to build on top of you if you really are rock. Right? It's funny that he says rock because they called him the Rock of Ages. They call him, we call him the rock, the cornerstone that built the church. We call Jesus the rock. Listen, so if Jesus is the rock, you are too. So we didn't build the church off of all kind of stuff. We didn't build the church off of community. We didn't build the church off of charitable giving. And we built the church off of feeding the poor, which I got to talk to y'all about that because Jesus, I'll get in there another time. We didn't build the church on all kind of other stuff. And we've done all these different things. And you know who we left out? Us. Now we there. We there. We diligent. We be at prayer. And we be at worship. And we be going. But we be there, not there. You can't be there if you don't know who you really are while you're there. You're an imposter. If you don't really know who you really are, you don't know you who you are and identify yourself as a son of God, you're just there, you're just there, you might as well be a zombie. But they call it a cadaver when the body is dead and they emptied it out so they can fill it up with embalming fluid to go and bury it. You're just sitting there, just empty. Full but empty. Sounds double-minded to me. And I say also under the Dawat, Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. You too, Peter. And I'm going to build my church upon this identity, right? The identity of Christ. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I always wondered, I said, well, you got to watch it, slow down, watch it, because the gates of hell should not prevail. I was like, man, the gates ain't going to be able to come against us. But I was like, wait, last time I seen gates, they don't move. The gates, they're stationary. You go to a house, there's gates. The gates don't come out to the street, or the gates don't be chasing nobody. The gates are stationary. So the gates are not prevailed. That means that the church is moving forward. We are moving forward and making progress, and any boundary or gate or gatekeeper that's in our way won't be able to block us from wanting them where we're going. But also, there are gates that try to hold people in the bondage, and we'll break the gates open so that people will go free. This is what the church looks like. The church is not you come and sit down in your seat and in your pew or whatever and come and try to get fed. The church for you to come and get a word. No, you are the word. You're the word in the flesh. You should bring the word to the word so there's a bigger word that becomes one, and then we spread out. It's not for you to come and get your needs met. But the church has become a hospital. It's become a hospital and a community center and a charity organization. Where now all the broken people, Jesus never said bring all the people to the synagogue. Not one. See, this is why we got to get back to Jesus, and we got to get back to what Jesus was designing stuff to be. He's the word in the flesh and showed us, I didn't come to do away with the law to come to fulfill it. Jesus never said, bring them to the synagogues. Bring the people to the temple. No, where was Jesus? Jesus was out among them. All of his healings happened out among them. Matter of fact, the first time he went to the synagogue, written in the scriptures, he had to cast a demon out of one of the holy people. First demon he cast out of one of the holy people. They say Jesus, he entered into Galilee, or he retreated into Galilee. People don't understand what Galilee is. Galilee, the name really means circle of heathen. That means there are people that were on the outskirts that was kind of into the law and kind of not into the law. The publicans and sinners and people from all different kind of nationalities and beliefs and everything. And this is where Jesus is chilling. This is where he decides to live. His home is in Galilee. He decides to live among these people because he says those that are not sick don't need a physician. I'm going there. But here we are, the church becomes a blessed me club and we want to stay in here where the holiness is and keep all that icky, icky, icky wickedness out of here. And it always amazes me that we are so afraid of something, whatever we want to call it, evil, to rub off on us, that we never think that we ought to rub off on the world and change the community. You're not a thermometer. Listen to what I'm saying. You're not supposed to be a thermometer reading what the temperature is. You should be a thermostat that can read what the temperature is and change it to what it should be. This is what the church was intended to be. But we're more of a thermostat, and there's more stuff that in the church that matches everything else going around us than does Jesus. But we were meant to go out into the different places and change the temperature of what's going on. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosened. I mean, y'all know y'all ain't been seeing that. Y'all know y'all been binding a bunch of stuff and it's still running rampant in your life. Y'all know binding. We've been binding stuff in church and praying in tongues and having intercessory prayer all of it every week and stuff still going nuts, still going crazy. Can we sit there and say, okay, hold on. It's like if you keep filling up a bathtub or any kind of container and the water don't keep coming up in it, like there's a leak somewhere. There's something going on. Don't be an idiot and sit there and just keep the water running, the water flowing, the water running, and you letting the water run and seeing that it's not doing the things that it's supposed to do, and then you still going to say, let me use the same vessel. No, that's why you got to get rid of the old bottles. He said you can't put new wine in old skins and old bottles because it's going to bust the bottle. You can't put a new cloth in the old cloth. It's going to make the new cloth old. He's trying to tell you what's going on. When you see it not matching, then you got to realize, okay, something is wrong. I was teaching my Living Bible book class today. I heard God say, we was reading the prodigal son, and he was talking to the older son, which was so crazy because he wanted stuff, but he didn't know where he was. And the father in the parable that Jesus says, son, thou art ever with me. And when he read that Sunday, I heard apostle read it. When he read it Sunday, I screamed, oh, because I heard God say it to me. But then it immediately made me consider, well, son, thou art ever with me. And at that moment, my understanding, my belief, or whatever it is, took a leap and it changed, right? I became that instead of believing it. I became son, thou art ever with me, right? But then it immediately made me think, what was I thinking before? What was it that I was thinking before now that I couldn't get to this thought? Or I didn't believe this, or I didn't understand this. What was I thinking before? And I found myself, and it let me make my way to myself. I found where my self that I needed to deny was, and it led me to the self that I really am. This is what I'm saying. When we're looking at these circumstances and these situations, binding on earth, binding in heaven, losing on earth, losing in heaven. Well, hold on, we've been binding stuff all day long, and so now I got to find out, well, what am I thinking? Because I can't be thinking that I'm that thou art too. I can't be thinking that I'm the Christ too. I can't be thinking that. Because if I was thinking that, then what comes after? Thou, people on the rock, I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm getting the gates and I can't get through. Well, something is wrong with who I think I am. And I got the keys. I got the keys because keys open gates as well, too. You got to put all that stuff together. But I got the keys to the kingdom and I'm binding them loose, but ain't nothing happening. Okay, let me go back. Do I realize, do I have a revelation? Do I realize that I am the Christ as well? Do I realize that that's what Jesus is trying to tell me? Do I realize it? Right? Clearly, Peter ain't realize it. Because then verse 20 says, then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. In other words, keep it on the low. It's another thing, man. Like, y'all got to chill out, man. I know y'all come to school for ministry school and trying to be ministers and everybody want to be top notch. Y'all got to chill out, man. Hey, trying to be somebody or trying to be important is played out, man. It's played out. It's out of style, man. Like, can we please get over this, please? It's over with, y'all. Like, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares about who you think you are and what your name and your reverend, apostle, and prophet, and evangelist, and what your doctor in front of you. Nobody cares anymore. Can you please show me, please, some results, manifestation? Nobody cares about none of that. You got so many reverends and preachers and pastors right now. Nobody cares. I'm trying to be somebody. Don't tell them I'm Christ. And then watch this, verse 31, verse 21. From that time forth, because Jesus says, oh, you got the revelation that you're the Christ too. I get it, that you understand who I am and you understand who you are because you understand me, you understand yourself. Oh, I got it, so now I can tell you some secrets. From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief of priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. Now listen to what he says. He's going to be killed and raised again on the third day, which means he's going to be alive. But he's trying to tell them the process because I'm trying to tell you the process of being the Christ. I'm explaining to you that this is what the Christ looks like. Verse 22, the nerve of him. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be under thee. Who the Christ? Me or you? Right? And I just told you you're the Christ. So let me teach you who the Christ is. The audacity of you to try to rebuke me and say what's not going to be unto me. You think I'm tripping? I know exactly who I am, and I know exactly the process that I got to go through. But Peter says this because, one, he realized, whoa, if I'm the Christ, two, and I'm with you, I mean, everything you're saying happened to you got to happen to me, too. And you know, later on in the scripture, Peter denies Jesus. Peter says, So he tries to say it in a good way. No, Lord, it be not unto thee. This will not be unto thee. Like he's trying to make a good confession. Peter was just scared for his own self. And he didn't want to go through the process. If you understand Peter's character later on down the line, you will understand what that process is. Then he turned unto Peter and said, golly, you just told you the Christ. I just told you the Christ, and I'm going to show you the difference between the Christ and Satan. Watch this. He said, get thee behind me. Satan called Peter, Satan, God, dog. For thou art an offense to me. You're a stumbling block. You're a blockage. You're in my way. That's what offense means. When you're offended about anything, you're just stumbling blocking yourself. You're just putting a blockage or a stumbling block in front of yourself for you to keep falling when you're offended. Stop being offended. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. In other words, you think this thing is supposed to be what men think is popular, when in actuality, God says, you got to go through this to be the resurrection. There is no resurrection without a death. And he moves from being the Christ, thou art to Peter, to being Satan, because he's savoring, or he's functioning, or he's yearning after what men's idea is and not what God's idea is on the process. Y'all see the process? So now there's a lot of Satan in the church. Ooh. A lot of Satan in the church, because they're going after what men say and not saving the things that be of God. We're going to read this, because the next thing, and I'm going to read verse 24, and I want you to read verse 24 over and over again. Probably read it a bunch of times this week over and over again, and let the Lord speak to you about it, because we're going to break it down. And this has been on me for the last 6 months to a year. It's just been real heavy. Then Jesus said to the disciples, we got all these prayers we pray to get born again and become a follower of Christ and confess your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believe, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. They that call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we got all these different things, and God bless all that. But Jesus says this. Paul and all them said that. But Jesus says this. Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. That means he's got to deny who he thinks he is, and be Christ and take up the cross and be ready to die. I'm going to end it right there, class. It's living. That's a Church Unusual. We're going to pick up there next week. Amen.